We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the College to Canton podcast, the perfect show, in my opinion, for any and every college football and NFL fan. And I'm your host, still Travis May. And if you're joining us for the first time, College to Canton is a show where we talk about everything from college football recruiting all the way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, in-season NFL breakdowns, NFL draft content, everything in between. We always talk some fantasy football since this is a RotoViz radio podcast, but we always make sure to dive into some real college football and NFL analysis too. We've been talking a lot about college football playoffs, NFL playoffs, and last week took a look at the top 24 incoming rookies this year for fantasy football, according to you, the listener. But this week, we're going to take a look at the top college football NFL draft prospects that are returning to school that will be names to know and to draft if you're into Devy Leagues or college fantasy and things like that in the not-so-distant future. And to help me dive into this topic, a couple names that have joined us on the show before. I'm joined again by Matt Wispay, at WispyTheKid on Twitter, and Stefan Leco, at Stefan Leco on Twitter. Both of them host the RotoViz College Football show on RotoViz Radio and contribute to the Devy content that we put together, some weekly pieces throughout the year with written content. And we're about to completely redo our Devy ranks here soon in the near, very, very near future. So if you're into that kind of league, be looking for that update here soon. But glad to, you know, just hang out with you guys again, have you guys on the show. You guys been doing okay?
No, not at all.
They can't
not
hear you all. Shaking your
it's
head,
Stefan.
It's been
rough, man. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been on. I've been floundering over here.
Yeah, I know. And in fact, we had to miss you, Matt, because the last time we were on was the college football playoff special. I had Stefan join me, and I think it was probably for the best that, Matt, you weren't there because
you don't curse enough on your show, so I couldn't make an appearance on that one.
Yeah.
For the listeners who are listeners to the RotoViz College Football Show, you hear frequently about my bedtime. I don't usually stay up very late because I wake up at 3:30 in the morning. Well, I was trying to stay up through the I stayed up for 99% of the national championship game, but I was not going to stay up later to complain and moan on Travis's podcast and make him do a lot of editing out of curse words. So yeah, I just took the let's go to sleep route. So yeah
we were talking about that, Stefan. We were just like, you know, I don't know if Matt would really want to be reminded immediately that, oh yeah, his team just got crushed in the national championship game. So that's okay, but really glad to have you on. I really do enjoy the RotoViz College Football Show and what you guys do there. So listeners, if you haven't checked that out, definitely check out their feed or their show on RotoViz Radio. Either feed, you can find their content. And actually, what day of the week does, I think you guys drop it on the RotoViz Radio feed a different day of the week, right?
Yeah, we do Thursday for our feed and then Friday
I mean, in season, Thursday for our feed and then Friday on the main feed. But in the off season, we'll just be dropping it on Friday on both.
Okay. Well, good. Well, yeah, definitely check that out. But we're going to dive into some of the best returning college football players that are going to make an impact in the NFL, most likely, here soon as well today. But before we do, this is the College to Canton podcast, and we did just get to see a new Hall of Fame class make their way into Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame just this past weekend. First off, Alan Faneca, six-time All-Pro guard. Coach Tom Flores won a couple of Super Bowls with the Raiders. And then, of course, Calvin Johnson, Megatron himself, you know, one of the most dominant players at any position of all time. And then we got John Lynch. I mean, he's been an executive as well, but people forget he was an All-Pro safety 3 years in a row. Peyton Manning, of course, multiple Super Bowls.
Living in Denver, John Lynch is all they're talking about today. Well, that and Peyton, of course, but oh my God.
Yeah. It's funny, like different communities, like, you know, all my Indiana buddies, like huge Colts fans, like they're just like, what? How in the world is Peyton Manning already old enough to be like in the pros or in the Hall of Fame? But it is kind of crazy. Seven times all, like some of these numbers, when you see it, it's just bonkers. Like seven times all pro, five times MVP for Peyton Manning. Like I forgot like just how ridiculous. I mean, I remember he was dominant, but man, five time MVP is just, that's crazy. And then we got Bill Nunn, 47 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a scout. Like that's insane. Like a guy that helped build the 1970s dynasty for the Steelers and was with them, I guess, all the way up till 2014 and 2015. And then Drew Pearson, wide receiver, you know, back in the pre-free agency days, going from undrafted free agent to three times Pro Bowler. Like that was really rare, really hard to do. So Drew Pearson. And then, of course, Charles Woodson, first player to 60 interceptions and 20 sacks and then 33 forced fumbles. Like he did everything as a defender. So a lot of people just think about, you know, the Chuck rule.
He also picked a very bad college.
Yeah, whatever, Ohio State fan. But yeah, but it's just another incredible class. But what's you guys, I'm sure you guys have favorite plays or memories of Calvin Johnson, right? Like, can you guys think of just a play that stands out to you or a moment in Calvin Johnson's career that you just think, man, that guy was just absurd?
The only memory I can pull off the top of my head right now is, I think it was in college, and he basically went like sideways on a catch.
Like completely horizontal.
Give you any details. All I know is he basically the freak score that we sometimes reference at RotoViz. He's basically the reason the freak score exists. So
yeah.
No, Calvin Johnson was absurd.
Yeah.
No, my favorite thing about Megatron was I think it was in 2012 where he just had, I think he had almost 2,000 yards receiving, yet somehow he only had five touchdown receptions. Like, just crazy. Like, he would do everything but get into the end zone. But dude was a freak. I loved him. I had him in the very first Dynasty League I ever did. I had him. And he and, like, Marshawn Lynch were, like, the staples of my team. And then all of a sudden, I went from dominant to rebuilding.
All at the same time, just, like, the carpet yanked out from underneath you there. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm retiring at, like, 28. Man, I wonder where he would have been overall in the career numbers had he just stuck around for a couple more years. But hey, if I played for the Lions that long, I'd probably want to quit too. So that's right. Seriously. But I mean, even like you mentioned though, Matt, with his college numbers, he has almost a perfect production profile. Like, you know, like we talk about the yards per team pass attempt, the dominator rating, all these different things, the adjusted production index. Like he's a 95th percentile adjusted production index player. Like he had a 55% dominator rating, you know, accounting for more than half of his team's offense through the air in his peak year, and had like over 3 adjusted yards per team pass attempt in his peak year, which is again like 85th or 90th percentile kind of numbers just across the board, checkbox. And so if he was around today as a prospect, there would be absolutely nothing like that. He would be the answer at the position, obviously. And then he was. He just kept dominating year after year. But definitely still miss Megatron, although I'll still never let it go. Back in 2010, he was against the Bears. He caught what should have been a touchdown, and he was kind of still scooting backwards on his butt. And then, like, as he was coming to a stop, he, like, set the ball down. And before he got up. And so they reviewed it and took the touchdown away. Like, he was clearly done. Like, he was just barely scooting on his butt in the back of the end zone. and just put the ball down. It's a technicality.
They
took the touchdown away, and I lost that game. It was like week two, and because I lost that game, I missed the last seed of the playoffs. But had I made it into the last seed of the playoffs, I would have won the championship. And so I still remember this. I'll never forget it. I just was bitter about that. You know, it was just one of those plays where the guy who beat me that week was just talking crap the whole season about that one play. And even 11 years later, I remember Calvin Johnson.
And those bad beats.
Yeah.
Those bad beats.
They stick with you.
They stay a lot longer than the great victories. Like, the worst beat I got was, it was the fantasy football championship game. It was a Monday night football game. I was going against the 49ers defense. I was up by like four. It was the end of the game, and they threw a pick six. That, like, 49ers already up. The guy just had to pick it off and kneel. He didn't. He ran into the end zone, and I lost. And I was livid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you remember this. I'm not bitter. I'm going to drink some more beer over here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's probably enough on this Hall of Fame class. Just another studly crew from all different eras. But kicking it over to the subject of today's show, talking about returning players and kicking it off with quarterbacks, actually, because, you know, we have some absolute all-stars, really deep quarterback class this year. At least it seems that way. Now, I'm not sure I feel like that really about the upcoming classes. There's not like really a Trevor Lawrence or even a Justin Fields necessarily that I'm pumping up, you know, years and years in advance. But who's the guy, who's the quarterback one for each of you? Kick it off with Matt here first, that's returning to college football.
In the purpose of Debbie,
sure.
The one that I would take first is Sam Howell. If you're asking which one, if I have a team that has the ability to take some time and wait a year or two, I think my QB1 would be DJ Uiagalelei. Provides, I think he has the most upside of any of the quarterbacks. I honestly think his floor looks a lot like Cam Newton, and that's kind of it's a crazy thing to say that his floor might be Cam Newton. And if you're in a position where you can wait two full seasons for him, he looks like the truth. And that would be that might be the one I go with. You're down on next year's class. Next year's class is super interesting, though.
Yeah. It's interesting, but I like that. I'm a huge Uiagalelei fan myself. Just in the limited action that we saw, he almost never made a bad pass. You know, people wanted to pick him apart for a couple bad throws he had on out routes in his first college game against Boston College, whatever. Like, he did really, really good. So I'm a huge fan. He is my overall, I think, quarterback one. But I think the safer option might be Howell, given what we've seen and given what he's kind of done with his deep ball. But where are you with quarterbacks and your quarterback one that's returning to college football, Stefan?
Yeah, that's not an interesting conversation all of a sudden, because I've got DJU as my number one guy as well. I have some deep cuts if you want some deep cuts of guys I like, but sure. My number one guy is DJ.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I really like DJ. It sounds like we all do. And I think Bryce Young, once he gets in the starting quarterback position for Alabama, even with a more young wide receiver core, I think Bryce Young's going to insert himself into that conversation as well immediately this year, just because, well, it's Alabama. And they, again, have five, like, I think they have five top 60 recruits this year that are all wide receivers on top of that.
But do you think
it's insane?
So I've been thinking about this, because their wide receiver room, other than the incoming freshmen, don't you kind of feel like it sucks? Like,
yeah, I mean,
I know people saw disrespect of Mechie out of your mouth.
I'm sorry, he's terrible. There's Mechie. He's got, like, Billingsley, I think, is the most upside receiver of the bunch, but like Cade, what was it? Slade Bolden.
He's not good. No,
there's not there isn't a ton of talent. I actually went back through and like tried to look through the recruiting classes, and like this year is the outlier. Usually, like, it's not like Ohio State that's been stacking these years over. And I know that makes it whatever. It's not like Ohio State that's stacked these year over year, like, recruiting class where they have multiple top 100 guys. Alabama really kind of, after they've got the big four, where they got Judy, Ruggs, Waddle, and Devonta, they kind of just like took their foot off the gas, and now they needed to replenish it. And yeah, you're right. This year's class looks ridiculous. I'm not sure which one of the bunch I'm the highest on, but yeah, I mean, they're going to be really young. That's the only reason that I'm worried about Young this year, is I almost wonder, are they going to run the ball so much because that wide receiver room is so young and so inexperienced? But
no, I think they do. I think Bryce Young. I think they go back to like Jalen Hurts. Like, you know, he's going to have a huge rushing year himself probably. But
yeah, I think there's four QBs that kind of stand out right now returning. I think it's Howell, Rattler, DJU, and then it's probably Keaton Slovis would be most people's four, just based on what we have seen, his upside, what he could be. But five is where it gets really intriguing to me, because I could make a case that Daniels, in that little bit we saw from him at the end of the year, Georgia's there.
Yeah, say which Daniels, baby, because there's two that
well,
I think.
Well, JT Daniels. Yeah. Everyone knows my affinity for Jaden Daniels. Right. I think he has some upside. And then, like you said, Bryce Young is that other one. There's a lot of QB talent. And then I didn't even mention the one that's going to win the Heisman next year, CJ Stroud. okay. Watch, it's happening.
Okay.
No, I'm only half kidding, but I did tell people to bet that. So, I mean, I think this year, there's a lot of returning talent at quarterback. So for anyone who's worried that, oh no, we just saw six potential first round quarterbacks leave college football, it's gonna be a wasteland.
No,
it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. There's some talent there, and we haven't even really mentioned
one of the guys that I wanted to talk about. Oh, go for it. You might bring him up right now.
I mean, Spencer Rattler, is that the guy you were going to talk about?
No. I did you not mention him?
He's my two.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I was thinking, and I know Matt doesn't like him because we've talked about him. Not, you like him. You just don't think he's going to translate to the NFL. But just seeing the jump that he
If you say Desmond made, Ritter, I'm muting myself.
Dylan Gabriel, baby. I am a believer. I really think that, you know, he's only a sophomore. He's a young guy. I really think he can make the jump. He has a great, I think he's a great deep ball. I think if he had a little bit more visibility. I mean, I know UCF is a former national championship with their undefeated season, but I really like him. I really think he could, if he continues to progress, I think he could be really good. He needs to add a little bit of weight. He's only like 180 pounds, six foot, 180, a little small, but I really like him. I think he's a underrated prospect, and I think people aren't baking in the fact that he could have a big third year jump.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, you know, he just lost his head coach went over to, UT, the bad UT. Well, I guess they're both bad. But anyway, Tennessee, you know, and he went over to Tennessee and tried to fix that hot mess. I wonder if, you know, they'll mix things up or what. But yeah, Dylan Gabriel is another name I like to kind of make a jump into the top tier 2022 quarterback conversation for sure. So all good names to note here. I mean, like, sounds like up top we're talking DJ Uiagalelei for Clemson, Bryce Young, maybe depending on what happens with the wide receivers there at Alabama. Sam Howell out of North Carolina will probably continue to produce. I wonder what it looks like without Dyami Brown, without Daz Newsome. Bo Corrales is returning, but you know, he's losing both of his running backs and Javonte Williams and Michael Carter there. So he'll be working with a stable of kind of newer faces, or at least inexperienced faces.
Yeah, his offensive line is pretty much all coming back though, which is
a
big deal. I mean, you saw what happened in the Super Bowl when your offensive line's not playing well. It's a big problem. So he should be able to have some time, and it'll be interesting to see. I'm not as big of a Howell guy as everyone else apparently, but I think he'll be fine even without my boy Diami there.
Yeah. And I think Spencer Rattler continues to grow. And, you know, he's not losing key wide receivers there. I mean, he looked to have a really solid.
Whoa. Charles DeRambo would like to have a word with you.
I mean, he ended up what? He ended up being the wide receiver three for them by the end of the year.
So bad this year.
Yeah. So Marvin Mims coming back. They're bringing in some good young talent again because they're Oklahoma and that's what they do. Spencer Rattler, I think he could rise, continue to rise if he's not already in the quarterback one conversation for some. He could land there as well for next year's draft. I'm still high on Keaton Slovis and the air raid that they continue to stick with there. Kind of a weird year there. I mean, they only had six games, so it's kind of hard to assess. And late start to the Pac-12 season. Same with Jaden Daniels at Arizona State. You know, it's just when you have that kind of a small sample, it's really hard to kind of put a staple or say, you know, have a definitive stance on any player off of such a narrow window, I guess. But really, I am excited for some of these quarterbacks. I think there will be a name or two that jumps up into the conversation that's not currently being talked about right now. I mean, some people, even like Carson Strong, some people like Grayson McCall, some people like Desmond Ritter. You know, there are other names.
Tyler Shuck.
Yeah. No, yeah.
So
no.
I had to throw it out there. Sorry.
Yeah. Maybe we'll probably
no.
No. Okay. Yeah. Not that guy, but there'll be tons of other guys that I think jump up into the conversation even for the 2023 NFL draft here soon. But before we get to the super interesting positions that everyone likes to talk about in running back and wide receiver, are there any tight ends returning to college football that you guys are like, you know, planting your flag on and confidently getting excited about for the NFL? Because I mean, this year's class has a ton of producers, like seven guys with decent production profiles. But next couple of years for tight end looks a little slim.
There's one name everyone should care about. He is a freak. He is one of the best athletes that you'll see there. If there's a guy that is going to be a Kyle Pitts, it's Eric Gilbert, and he just replaced him. So Eric Gilbert was productive for LSU. LSU's offense was anemic, and Eric Gilbert was still worth watching. So that should tell you what he was doing there. So Eric Gilbert is an athletic freak. He was one of the top athlete prospects in his high school class. Came and was an instant producer for the defending national champion, whatever the heck that means anymore. But now he's going to a system that has already proved that it will exploit the tight end position. And I think he could be the guy. He's the only one I would recommend in Devy drafts, even tight end premium. Honestly, he's probably the only one I would even recommend in the top four rounds.
Okay.
Yeah. The only other name for me is, and it's another one. You're waiting a couple of years, but it's Michael Mayer for Notre Dame. He was another guy. They put him on the field right away. He was an early season contributor. And honestly, I think by the end of the year, he might've been like their second or third leading receiver. He was right up there near the top for Notre Dame. So
he was.
I mean, he's at least a guy that people should be looking at. I don't think he's super exciting. I think with him, you're hoping that his career is kind of like Zach Ertz. I think, and that sounds like but you're looking for a poor man Zach Ertz.
Yeah, to me, he could be Greg Olsen though. I think he's that kind of. I think he has that kind of upside. I like Michael Mayer. I like Eric Gilbert. Transferring to Florida now. Michael Mayer, of course, at Notre Dame. You know, they're returning some wide receiver production, going to have probably a new quarterback there with Jack Cohn transferring in, Tyler Buchner coming in as a freshman there. But I like him a lot. I also think Jalen Weidermeyer is another name to watch. Maybe Jahlil Billingsley.
Weidermeyer, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, Weidermeyer, of course, at Texas A&M. But Jahlil Billingsley came on strong for Alabama late in the year. So you were going to talk about Billingsley there, Stefan?
Well, I think Matt kind of brought it up earlier. Like, they're losing so much production at the wide receiver position. I think Billingsley, he's already, like, when you told us, like, kind of what we'd be talking about today, like, when I was going through the tight ends, I wrote his name down, and I wrote, I don't know if this is cheating, because, like, I think he lines up in the slot more than he lines up in line. So I don't know if he'll be a tight end in the NFL or not. I'm not exactly sure what he'll be. But I do think he could see a huge jump in production this upcoming year, just with the turnover on offense. That they're losing all their wide receivers. They're losing their running backs. Running back, Najee Harris taken off. But I think Billingsley's going to see a big spike in production, and that could translate to some buzz around draft time. He's only going to be a junior, so I think he could be solid.
And then I'd be remiss if I didn't at least take 10 seconds to say. Jeremy Ruckert's production profile is going to suck.
Yeah, it's gonna
not going to look good. But he is, if he does if there's a combine again when he gets there, he's going to look very good at the combine. He's a guy that I would say film people tend to love him, even though his production kind of sucks. So I think he'll be a dude that can be productive in the NFL. I just don't necessarily think he's going to be someone who...
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're going to be pumping up his draft stock because... he's just not going to have the production because Ohio State doesn't throw to a tight end.
Yeah, that's fair. And that's probably all the names I'm super interested in. Maybe Charlie Kohler, Jake Ferguson, or, Kohler out of Iowa State, Ferguson out of Wisconsin. You know, maybe, one of those guys creeps up into the conversation and starts to be interesting. But Yeah, those are the big names to remember for tight end. But before we outline the best returning running backs and wide receivers and then wrap up the show, just a word from our sponsors.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
What's up, RotoViz listeners? It's Colin Kelly here, executive producer of RotoViz Radio and one of the co-hosts of the RotoViz Overtime podcast. I just wanted to drop by and say thank you, as always, for listening into another RotoViz Radio production. As a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass right now at rotoviz.com/podcast or by simply adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. That'll get you access to all of the content and tools on the RotoViz website, the best tools and content in the business for the best listeners in the business. As always, we do appreciate you listening to each and every show. And if you do have 5, 10, 15 seconds to spare, please drop a rating for today's show on your favorite podcast app. It is much appreciated. With all that said, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you have a great day. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, so we talked about some quarterbacks, some tight ends, the Hall of Fame class, but now for some running backs, returning running backs to college football. You know, we've been kind of spoiled with some really good running back classes here recently. You know, the 2021 class looks kind of shallow in terms of elite options. And really, 2022, the NFL draft next year, again, looks a little shallow. But beyond that, there are definitely some names to get excited about, in my opinion. So I'm interested to hear, you know, your overall returning running back one for college football. It doesn't have to be next year necessarily. Overall, returning running back one for you guys. What about you, Stefan?
Well, for me, it's got to be Breece Hall. I mean, he just was a freak this last year. I think he was the best.
Don't say player because he's a running back.
I almost was going to say I thought he might be the best running back that we saw this year. But I don't know if that's with Etienne.
That's not even hot take-y. I think that's correct.
But he was just friggin' awesome. And so I can't imagine anyone jumping him for RB1. Even if you're in a super flex, I get it. But outside of a super flex, in most Debbie drafts, he should be, you know, 101 in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, he has everything you want. And it was not a perfect situation. I thought he may come in this year. And really, the rest of the offense did kind of take a step back, except for Breece Hall. You know, they were kind of redoing their offensive line. I think that really affected Brock Purdy and his ability to have a decent passing profile this year. But Breece Hall, I mean, what led the entire nation in rushing? Like, he had, 1,560-something yards, like 20-plus touchdowns, tons of yards after contact, and he had to deal with – it's not like he got a bunch of free yardage with Iowa State. It was not even like in the upper half of Power 5 in terms of yards before contact per rush attempt for him. So, really, not ideal situation, and he was just like, hey, by the way, I'm amazing. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he can catch passes too. Yeah, I'm right there with you with Breece Hall. I think some people are on Bijan Robinson from Texas. You know, he was like the overall running back one that came in as a true freshman this past year for many. You know, maybe he wasn't the fastest running back. He's got great build-up speed. Maybe his first step wasn't great. I think, you know, people were trying to nitpick him coming in. But he looks real. Like, it looks like, wow. late season burst, it looked really silly that he didn't see the ball a whole lot more early on in the season for Texas. So do you guys have him as the top overall running back for the 2023 class?
Yes. Not close.
Not close for Matt. Okay.
Really not close. It was kind of funny because we've talked about this a few times. Like mid-season, we were all boosting Gibbs. We were all boosting Tank Bigsby. And I kept sitting there and wondering, I'm like, is Bijan Robinson going to start getting the ball consistently? Is he going to start being the guy that gets utilized there? And I'm now so happy to, like, I don't actually hate Tom Herman. I don't mind him. but he did a very bad job of letting the best players run the ball. So yeah. He constantly would run the ball with Ellinger. He constantly would try and roll out Keontae Ingram, and just no, it was an awful idea. You've got a running back that as a true freshman had 86 carries, which, okay, that's not really that much, but he averaged 8.2 per carry, 702 yards, had four scores. By the way, everyone knows I love me a good running back that catches the ball every once in a while, 15 receptions for 196 yards and two more scores. That is my type of running back. And by the way, they liked him so much, they let him return a kick once this year. He didn't do very much with it. He got 16 yards. But, I mean, he looks to me like the most up, the highest upside of all the running backs out there. And I include Breece Hall in that. I think that Breece Hall is probably, to me, he looks a lot like David Montgomery to me. I think he's going to be incredibly productive in college. I think he's going to do a ton of, like, good, and his stats are going to be amazing. But I don't see any specific trait that stands out to me as he's going to be special. Whereas Bijan Robinson isn't super fast, but he was the number one running back recruit in the, I believe he was the number one overall running back recruit in the 24/7 composite for his year.
Yeah, he was.
It's absurd. He was the dude that Ohio State wanted to build their running game around. And he was so close to being a Buckeye, and I still don't hate him. He isn't dead to me, and he really jilted the Buckeyes. So that should tell you he's absurd.
Yeah.
Another name I want to throw out there that shouldn't be ranked that high now, but I could see by the time we get there, is former five-star recruit DeMarcus Bowman, recently left Clemson to go to Florida. I think he could have a resurgence with the Gators. I could see him elevating his stock quite a bit. I know that's kind of hot takey, but I'm not usually a hot take guy. I really think he's got the skill set to flourish in that offense. We've seen what Mullen can do with that offense. They haven't had like an elite running back. Like this year, like Pierce wasn't the guy. No. I think with Bowman there, it could be a lot of fun. I think he could get his name back into our mouths quite frequently. Matt, you're giving me the craziest look right now.
No, the issue I have actually with – I was yawning. the issue I have with Florida is – and I talk to a lot. I'm in a few Debbie leagues, and one of them is pretty close to the Florida program. And one of the things that's always get brought up about them is they don't necessarily rush to put the best talent on the field. They put a lot of value in seniority within the program.
Yeah.
And
which is annoying.
That's why Tony didn't really break out until this year. It's why Trask had to sit and wait behind Felipe Franks. They don't necessarily rush to do it. So I think you're right. I think whenever Bowman gets his year where he's the lead guy, he's going to be incredibly productive. My worry is he going to be splitting reps with Pierce this year? And if he is, that's not great. Yeah. So that's my only concern with – I like Bowman. I'm with you. I think Bowman should be a dude that is on people's radar. And if he's drafted in a league and midseason he only has like 30 carries, shoot out your last Debbie pick as an offer to a guy just to see if he'll bite, because he is an incredibly interesting talent.
Yeah, he has – I just loved his speed and really his balance too. I think he really – like it would have been perfect had he just stuck around and been the heir to Travis Etienne for Clemson. But he kind of got impatient. He saw a couple other guys see some work before he did that were, you know, returning guys. And so he just said peace and went somewhere else. So hopefully he gets some work, because I really liked him in my true freshman running back rankings this past year. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. I'm a huge fan of his and Bijan Robinson, though. One stat that just intrigues me most about Bijan Robinson is he is, in fact, you know, if he had a few more carries, he would have met like meaningful thresholds for year-long stats. But in terms of yak, like yards after contact per attempt, he was actually first among all Power 5 running backs, ahead of only, you know, only like Ty Jordan, who sadly actually passed away this December, and Javonte Williams, who everybody is just drooling over so far in this incoming NFL draft, except for Matt. But but yeah, I'm really pumped to talk about Bijan Robinson when he goes off this fall.
Didn't die when he had like the worst landing in the entire college football season.
Yeah.
He came down basically on his neck and played the following week.
He tried to hurdle the guy, right? And then he got like upturned, and that was scary. But yeah, who else you guys like? Because I mean, there's so many running backs that I think are top names, and especially freshmen like Jahmyr Gibbs for Georgia Tech, you know, really doing well despite Georgia Tech being a dumpster fire otherwise. Tank
you
Bigsby.
You haven't even talked about your boy. There he is.
Yeah,
come
Tank,
on now.
Cartavius Tank Bigsby, Auburn. Like, the only thing that was positive at all about the Auburn offense last year was Tank Bigsby. I mean, and that's on a team that has, you know, Olympic speed with Anthony Schwartz and a really dominant red zone guy like Seth Williams. Tank Bigsby was the guy. He was the talk of the town. Like, if you're an Auburn fan, like, you are all in on Tank Bigsby and probably out on Bo Nix. But Tank Bigsby is the real deal. So am I crazy for having him like as a top five current Devy running back right now?
Running back? No. I'm kind of with you. I'm not with you at him in the top five, but I am with you as like he's definitely in that conversation for me. The only reason I probably wouldn't make the jump is just you have to wait that extra year for him. And I do think that I would rather take the dude. I'm going to say after this, I take Eric Gray over him just because you can get Eric Gray next year. But no, I mean, Bigsby looked kind of special last year and he was a highly regarded prospect and he seemed to show all of the things that you would want.
Yeah, and Eric Gray is an interesting name just because he transferred just here recently and apparently he's landing with Oklahoma. So you were a fan of that landing spot, huh?
So Oklahoma is quietly a team that likes to run the ball. They want to run the ball first. And it's we've talked about it a lot on the RotoViz College Football Show is the thing that eventually opened up everything for Spencer Rattler and eventually made that offense pop to being like dominant again was the emergence of Ramondre Stevenson for them. Yeah. For me, there's some stuff that's questionable about Eric Gray. He seems to go down on first contact a little bit too much. He was splitting workload with a running back that really shouldn't have even been in the same conversation as him. But he was a productive member of a Tennessee offense that was pretty anemic. And with Oklahoma, you aren't going to have an anemic offense, and it's going to be all kinds of fun for him. So yeah, just because I think he's going to declare next year, just because I think you can get him a little bit sooner, and I do think he has some of that similar upside, I would put Gray ahead of him, but I'm with you on a lot of there's no reason to avoid Tank Bigsby hype. He's going to be worth every penny.
Yeah. I think he's just got he's got feature back size. He can catch. He's got crazy good balance and solid measured speed too. So really huge fan of Bigsby. And I don't think Gray could have landed in a better spot because coming off that Tennessee landing spot, man, that's ugly. But then he goes into a situation that just, you know, gave Ramondre Stevenson, in his last six games, like 900 yards from scrimmage or something crazy. Obviously, he's not the huge bodied feature that Ramondre Stevenson is, but I think he can definitely come in and be the best back right away and solidify himself with some draft capital. But Stefan, going back to you, who's like your guy at running back that we haven't already mentioned?
Well, I don't know if I have a my guy at running back. I like a couple names of guys that I think are interesting. First of all, it's really tragic that CJ Verdell would have been in this conversation last year and he just had just such a terrible year at Oregon. He's coming back and we're still not talking about him.
No.
Is a real bummer. But two guys that I just want to mention is DeMonte Trainum at Arizona State. I think he could be really special. He looked really good. Matt's pointing at himself. He kind of pointed him out early this year. Again, Arizona State didn't play many games. They had some COVID issues. We all know all that. But he looks special. He looks like someone who we should be talking about. And then another guy, former five-star at Georgia, Zeus, Zamir White. I was really unimpressed with his numbers this year. Just looking at his game log, he only broke 100 yards three times this year. And I was hoping that, you know, in digging into it, like once I saw when did Daniel start? When did that offense start opening up? Did that change anything for him? Well, no, it didn't really. He really only had one or two solid games. And I want to believe, though, like I want to think that he can come back, put a good season together and kind of make us forget about, you know, a weird year. I am curious what we'll think this time next year, like after coming off a more normal season, because this COVID year was so strange. I'm curious what will happen looking at some of these guys' numbers. But so Zeus and Trey number two guys I'm interested in. And then someone who is like maybe the least sexy production, but mainly because he's going to be one of these super seniors, is Brian Robinson Jr. at Alabama. I don't know if Trey Sanders is going to get the opportunity this year or not. I'd like him to, because I have some Sanders stock, but I don't know. They seem to trust him. Robinson got more work this year than I would have expected. So coming back, like you guys have mentioned, like Bama might be just relying on that running game a lot more. We might see him take a jump. So yeah, those are a couple of names. Some of the transfer guys that we mentioned Bowman already, but like Ingram now at USC, Charbonnet at UCLA, that could be a lot of fun. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with some of these transfers.
Yeah, I think we're about to see some major stocks pop for some of these guys in new situations. And I'm going to write up some more transfer stuff here soon, because in recent years, we've seen a major spike in success of transfer running backs at the next level. And even getting draft capital at the next level. Even just this year, we saw what Antonio Gibson and Keyshawn Vaughn get day two capital. Alvin Kamara saw it. But before that, we had like almost a 10-year gap of just straight irrelevance outside of maybe a couple guys. So it's just, yeah, I think the transfer portal has started to change things. And now this immediate eligibility is going to change things for every position. But I think especially running back. If you have to sit out an entire year as a running back and then jump in and be like, hey, I need to garner a feature back workload, it's insanely difficult to do at the running back position. We've seen quarterbacks work out for transfers, wide receivers work out for transfers here recently. But I think it's going to start. We're going to start to see that happen more often with running backs now more than ever. But a couple other names I'm excited about. Also, Kyren Williams, Notre Dame, Jerrion Ealy, Ole Miss, guys I definitely like as well. There are some names to get excited about, but maybe not elite options necessarily for the pros like we've been spoiled with here recently. But lastly, let's wrap things up with some wide receiver. Before Stefan, you got to hop off here. I got a hard stop coming up for you, but wide receiver, the 2022 NFL draft class for wide receiver, and maybe this is due to COVID, also kind of a weakish class maybe last year in terms of immediate production. It's setting up to potentially be the worst set of production profiles ever for a collective draft class. There's some exceptions at the top, but especially thanks to Chris Olave returning. But overall, it's a very shallow, trustworthy class in terms of production profiles go. So what are your thoughts overall? Like, do you guys have, I know, Matt, you're a huge Chris Olave guy. You're a huge Garrett Wilson fan because you're Ohio State. But who is your wide receiver one overall that's coming back to college football?
I mean, for me, it's Wilson. I think Wilson showed a real development in the slot this year. I think the return, everyone's kind of concerned about Olave coming back as being a negative for Wilson, but I think Olave kind of showed that he alleviates some pressure from Wilson. The one question I have about Wilson is whether or not he can be a true number one wide receiver in the NFL. I think he's probably going to slot into a high upside wide receiver two on an NFL offense, but those guys can be incredibly productive. And for me, I think he showed real upside with some of his playmaking ability. And so that's why he jumps in as my one. But it's probably like pretty close between him and George Pickens, because Pickens started to pick back up at the end of the year when he had a real quarterback. So it's those two, but I would put Wilson at one, and then Chris Olave is probably three for me.
Okay. And what about you, Stefan?
Yeah, I think same three, different order. I've got Pickens one. And again, I think what Matt just said kind of proves that point, but it makes that point for me, just like when he actually had a competent quarterback, and him and Daniels will be playing together all season next year, hopefully. I mean, his production just elevated significantly, three times as much production when Daniels was a quarterback. Yeah. Another name to think about, though, is Justin Ross. If he can come back healthy, man, who knows what he and DJU can do at Clemson. I think Ross could be someone that if you didn't drop him because of the injury, you held on to him in Debbie Leagues, he's going to pay off in spades. I think we were talking about him a couple weeks ago. And, you know, if any if any wide receiver can make the jump to be like the wide receiver one, Justin Ross could be that guy because we've seen him do it before.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of if he can get back on the field healthy. So yeah, those are some of the names that I like at the top. One of the guys that is a secret love of mine. Well, not so secret, but man, I'm a big fan of Marvin Mims.
Yes.
Just watching what he did on the stretch. I'm super excited for him. I'm a big fan. I'm going to be drafting him way too early, and it's not going to be a bad thing. I'm going to be happy with it.
Yeah, man. I definitely love Marvin Mims. He definitely did explode early on. He was a little bit small. I didn't know if he would immediately warrant a huge market share, but he did. He was right away, like first or second game, like clearly, obviously the best playmaker on the team. So I wonder if he maintains that with their strong wide receiver class. But Stefan, I think you've got to hop off here. But thanks for joining us here. And Matt and I will see what we can do with wrapping up these wide receivers. But anything you want to plug or wide receivers you want to mention before you hop off?
No, it's I can't let us not talk about Micah Pittman at all. The production won't be there. The 40 time won't be there. But man, he looks good in that Oregon green and yellow. So, you know, it was good chatting with you, fellas. I'll listen to the rest of the show when you drop it in a couple of days here. I'll see you
Sounds
guys.
Good, man. Thanks for joining us, Stefan. You have a good one. But yeah, Micah Pittman. Yeah, hey.
I'm a homer, but Oregon. I'm a homer for one of the best offenses in the country.
Yeah,
so.
That's cheating. You know, you get to root for, you know, guys. You know, all they do is bring in five-star wide receivers. Like, you know, with Purdue, I've got Rondale Moore and David Bell. But outside of that, I haven't had much to talk about with Purdue football. That's been a good thing outside of, you know.
You get to hold over my head the Rondale Moore game. So you get that.
Yes,
I
do.
You always get that game.
Forever and ever, 2018, Rondale Moore annihilated your team. And that's probably going to be the only time.
Still didn't watch that game. We'll never watch that game.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I mean,
if you're an Ohio State fan.
It's interesting. I think that you're right about 2022. It's sort of a weak class. The name, I don't think we've mentioned him yet. Treylon Burks from Arkansas. His profile is starting to look really good. Drake London, I believe, is 2022 eligible. He's going to be another name that is going to be kind of that like sexy pick that people want to make if they're a little bit like hipsterish is the word I like to use for it. He's going to be one of those guys that he is honestly like his profile doesn't warrant a second round pick in my opinion. I think he should be miles behind Chris Olave, but I honestly think when it starts to get into it, I think he's going to have a very similar ADP to Chris Olave, and that's silly. 2023 is starting to look pretty good. I don't know if you're in the same boat as me, but
yeah,
I know your guy's Jordan Addison, at least from a profile perspective.
I'm
kind of with you on him.
Yeah, I definitely like, and we'll get to that class real quick, but just one more note on the 2022 guys. I mean, if you look at the production profiles, like just for this year's class, like coming out in the 2021 NFL draft, you know, even before this past season, we already had like Jatarius Tutu Atwell, Rashad Bateman, Tylan Wallace, Sage Surratt, and Jamar Chase, all with adjusted production index scores, a metric we use at RotoViz that talks about their Dominator rating, adjusted yards per team pass attempt numbers, and touchdown per team pass attempt numbers to kind of fill out a wide receiver's production profile with one solid score. There were already five guys that had over 80th percentile adjusted production index scores coming into this season. And then we ended up with, I think, eight guys just in Power 5, and then like another handful, like another six guys on the Group of Five conferences that it ended up with decent scores in that regard. This year, there is not one in this entire 2022 class that is above an 80th percentile profile for production-wise. Like, Treylon Burks, the closest thing, like he's 75th percentile. David Bell is like right there, 73rd percentile. Garrett Wilson kind of popped. He hit the like 60th percentile threshold that we like to see that generally leads to day two draft capital for wide receivers. Chris Olave kind of like right there in that sweet spot too. But George Pickens kind of fell short. Even Justin Ross, you know, he didn't have another year to prove it. Drake London missed the mark by a ton because, you know, he's 6'5", 210, had a couple big games with eight receptions. But overall, because of the air raid offense, he didn't really account for a huge chunk of that offense still. And really, thanks to him, Amon-Ra St. Brown eating a bunch of that production. But, you know, even the guys that we're headlining this class with do not have great production profiles. So unless they have insane peak numbers and what we hope is a more normal season, we might be, like I said, looking at the worst collective set of production profiles in modern NFL draft history, which for non-nerds is like, okay, whatever, I don't care. But it, I mean, it really can speak to the hit rate for a collective class. So I think, you know, there's a top five or six, maybe seven, but after that, it gets really gross. Back yeah, to the
I'm definitely with you. No, yeah. I mean, I'm with you on that. I think 2022 is going to be one of those drafts that we've been, people haven't realized that they've been spoiled with the last couple of years with the talent that has been coming in. And 2022 might be a little bit eye-opening for people when you're in just a rookie draft and you're at pick six, looking around going, do I take, like in a non-super flex, do I take a quarterback? So, no, but I do think it's funny because for as bad as 2022 looks, I might be that excited for how good 2023 looks. We already mentioned some of the running backs, but talent for talent, we saw some wide receivers get on the field, even in crowded wide receiver rooms. So Mims was one of those guys that Stefan mentioned. Kayshon, I'm going to butcher it. Kayshon Boots. I don't care if I said Boutte. It wrong.
Some, you know, some Boutte. People just say Booty. You know, Kayshon Booty. I don't know. I think it's Boutte. But great year for LSU. Kind of popped here and there.
And then, well, I'm trying to Jordan Addison. I mean, Addison, it just had a ridiculous profile. He's one of my like kind of weird players though that I have to figure out because there is a reason why he wasn't a highly rated high school prospect, and there is a reason why he went to Pittsburgh rather than say a huge program. And this isn't I don't actually want to knock players that did this, but I do think there's some nuance to how we have to look at their production because him getting to the top of a Pittsburgh depth chart should not be seen in the same way as like Jackson Smith and Jigba not getting to the top of the Ohio State depth chart because the rooms are balanced very differently. So yeah. I do like Addison a ton. I'm with you. I was a huge Tutu Atwell guy, and we all know that Louisville had nothing in their wide receiver room. So I think there's value in getting that dominator rating and really being that yards per team pass attempt, like loading up on
efficient,
it.
Efficient, yeah.
So I'm pretty interested in him. Rakim Jarrett, he had the one real pop-off game where he just went off and really made himself known nationally. He clearly showed his talent there. I think my one under-ish the radar guy is a dude that was fun for DFS a lot this year, and that was Parker Washington of Penn State.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised because for years Penn State has basically been yes, we can get one. We can have one really good looking wide receiver on our team, and we can have one person producing at wide receiver. But Washington really kind of made a sneaky big impact for them. And he's one of those guys that I think I'm going to have to talk myself down a little bit because when I do initial rankings on him, I'm probably going to be too high on him. And I'm going to have to like just remind myself that, okay, he didn't have this ridiculous year. He was just pretty productive for a maybe questionable team. But I saw a lot there.
Yeah, and you know, he did actually account for over 20% of Penn State's receiving yards this year. And I think almost like, what was it, a third of the receiving touchdowns too. He had a couple pop-off moments where he just kind of took over. Jahan Dotson obviously is going to be the alpha. He's returning. But I think that could be one of the deadliest duos if they can get some quarterback play going for Penn State next year. That's definitely a name to watch. Although you mentioned Jordan Addison, I think some people forget he was actually he was an athlete designation. I think that's why a lot of the people that are into recruiting, we don't always know what to do with these guys. You know, he could have gone either way. Like he could have been a safety or he could have been a wide receiver. So a lot of people weren't ranking Jordan Addison very high. But by most recruiting services standards, he was actually a top 200 recruit. Like I think some actually had him as a top 150 overall recruit. So for Mr. Ohio State over here, that's not very good. But for most people, that's pretty good. He's a pretty good recruit overall.
He is talented. I'm looking at his composite right now. He was in the composite. He was 275 overall. He was the number 10 overall athlete.
Yeah.
He's good. I definitely am underselling how talented he is. And it's not like he's at a Mac school doing this. He did this at Pitt. It was a Power 5 program.
Yeah. I get what you're saying,
but
though.
But there
like, DJ Turner, yes. Like who was a super senior, like was his only real competition for market share, receiving yard market share this year. So, yeah, he came in and did great things, but he wasn't really competing with anyone. So it's not like, you know, even Boutte coming in and having to compete with some real athletes, Marvin Mims doing it for Oklahoma. You know, even Parker Washington at Penn State having to come in and even share with Pat Freiermuth at tight end and Jahan Dotson, you know, more proven guys. But definitely a lot of intriguing profiles jumping out. And I mean, there even some G5 guys like Kyle Williams for UNLV, even like Kyron Lacy for Louisiana, even like the 6 foot, I think he's almost 6 foot six, like 6 foot seven, Lavelle Davis at Virginia. He's intriguing. Johnny Wilson over at Arizona State, Jalen Hyatt, Tennessee. There's some interesting guys that had some pop moments, like huge moments as true freshmen this year. I thought it would be less so because of COVID and because these guys might get less practice. But we saw a bunch of guys contribute in their very first college seasons this year. So I'm intrigued immediately by the draft class 2 years from now. And next year, I think, you know, maybe there might be like David Bell. I really like from Purdue. He kind of really exploded this year and was efficient. Treylon Burks kind of answered some questions with his profile and really the other guys we mentioned for 2022. But beyond that, like, is there anybody you're really excited about for next year's draft outside of like the obvious top seven or so?
I mean, I'm hoping we get a Jaden Hazelwood breakout and we finally see it from him. I'm hoping we get Brew McCoy potentially.
Yeah.
I think Brew McCoy is a better player than Drake London, just from what I've seen. I think he does a lot of things that are special, and he is a truly elite athlete. I would love to see him kind of break out because he's kind of one of those guys that I think will test well enough at the combine that he may earn himself draft stock, even though his profile is going to be a little bit lower.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, CJ Johnson, I loved him after his freshman year, but
didn't really do it this year. Reggie Roberson Jr. Maybe, you know, he's going to be an older player now, but.
And then I love Zay Flowers. He's a whole lot of fun.
That's a good name.
But I mean, he's another one of those guys that he's probably going to need 1,300 yards or something silly to get on the NFL radar to get day two draft stock. So that's kind of my issue with him, but there's going to be talent. Somebody in this year, in the next 12 months, somebody's going to pop that we aren't really talking about that much right now. And who knows? Maybe it'll be Micah Pittman. No, it's not going to be Micah Pittman. I think it'll be an interesting year. You and I are both into, with Stefan not here, I do have to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
Who are your favorite incoming freshmen? Like, who, if you're in a Debbie draft this year, and it's not always a great idea to waste picks on a freshman because you have to wait such a long time, but if there's a freshman that you're really willing to stake your claim on, I know one of the names that you're going to stake, but is there anyone that is really standing out to you as someone who you would take that risk for?
Yeah, so Tyler Buckner obviously is one of my favorite players. He had to miss the entire season because his school didn't have a football season out in California this year, but what he did last year in 2019 was just absurd. Had like 50 something touchdowns passing, had like 1600 plus rushing yards. Just, he does everything you want to see, makes all the throws. He reminds me of like a young Stafford too. He can like contort his arm in all sorts of weird ways and do quick releases. And he's just a really fun player for Notre Dame. I don't know if he's going to earn the starting job for Notre Dame right away because Jack Cohn's coming in from Wisconsin, but I think he's way better than Cohn. But because Notre Dame and the entire coaching staff is just really dumb and bad, I say that and they make it to the college football playoff. But if they actually started the best players, they could be really good. Buckner's a guy that I'm staking my claim on for quarterback. And then running back, I really like Donovan Edwards. I think he's going to be the first Michigan back to not be terrible and not let us down. I say that, and then he probably will. But Donovan Edwards is basically a feature back ready monster. So much so, I think he scared Zach Charbonnet out the door to transfer to UCLA. And I think he's going to be a huge impact player in year one alongside Hassan Haskins. Those are my guys for sure. Way down the list in terms of wide receivers, I mentioned, you know, Sam Howell. You know, he's losing Dyami Brown and Daz Newsome. Maybe Josh Downs is the new slot for them. But I think Gavin Blackwell, who's just barely a top 200 overall recruit, could slide in as a starting wide receiver as a true freshman and have a true freshman breakout for them. So that would be interesting. That's way deep in terms of Devy leagues because he's like wide receiver, you know, 20 or beyond for most. But I think he could make an impact, be that Jordan Addison out of nowhere looking player, Gavin Blackwell, North Carolina.
I'm with you, I think, on all of those names, probably less so on Blackwell. That's not much to be said. Yeah. Edwards, I think, will be in the conversation for 2024 running back one, and it pains my heart to say that. But in seeing him have breakaway speed and seeing him be the complete running back, I mean, I'm with you. My running back in this class is Travion Henderson.
Surprise.
Shut up. He's the number one overall running back for a reason. So he, similar to Buckner, didn't play senior season because Virginia didn't play this year. He opted to not transfer to another state to play football. But as a junior in high school, he had 2,424 yards and 45 rushing touchdowns. He had 283 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, that type of production coming out of a kid is pretty absurd. And now he is going to an offense that has really had no issues developing running backs and turning them into pros. So I'm very high on his potential. And I think the running back room at Ohio State is deep, but it isn't super duper talented other than him and other incoming freshman Evan Pryor. But there's definitely a hole where he could jump in and immediately contribute. At wide receiver, I'm going to go with someone not Emeka Egbuka because everyone expects me to say Emeka Egbuka. I'm going to go with Ja'Cory Brooks out of Alabama. He's number two in the wide receiver in the composite rankings. I like him a little bit more than some of the other guys because he's a little bit taller. And I do think that we mentioned it, someone out of this group, they brought in four guys from the top 100. One of them is going to get on the field as a freshman. So you kind of have to take your bet of who you think is going to be the one to jump. For me, that's Ja'Cory Brooks. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on with Tyler Buckner. I'm not sure he would be my number one in this class. I think, I don't even know if I have a clear-cut number one.
The quarterback? Yeah.
Kyle McCord. No, I don't actually think Kyle McCord ever starts a game at Ohio State.
CJ Stroud.
I would say, I think Caleb Williams looks like a true dual-threat quarterback. I'm not as high on him as some because I watched a lot of stuff from the Elite 11. And he did really bad at the Elite 11. But with him going to Oklahoma, you have to assume that he's going to be developed pretty well. You have to assume that, I mean, the reason he won Elite 11 is because his film was so good. So, yeah, I think CJ Williams is a very interesting dude. And Caleb Williams is a really interesting guy. So that's kind of where I would go. And, yeah, there's a lot of talent coming in. I think that there's going to be quite a few wide receivers that come out of this class, and
yeah, looks pretty deep there.
It does look very deep, and unfortunately almost all of them went to Alabama. So
yeah, like seriously, four out of the top 10 receivers in this class all went to Alabama. And then Marvin Harrison Jr., though, that's just weird that he's actually, you know, Marvin Harrison's son is going to be with Ohio State and he's actually in college now. I mean, we got Frank Gore Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr. We got like Chad Johnson's kid is at Arizona State. Like, it's just weird. It's odd just like seeing all these guys. But one more name, I think Destin Hill. He changed his name this year. Destin Hill for Florida State, kind of deeper as well at wide receiver. But coming in Mike Norvell's kind of first real full recruiting cycle as like the alpha wide receiver, I think, for the Florida State offense. Hopefully they're less of a dumpster fire this coming year. But Destin Hill could be another true freshman breakout that's kind of not an obvious name atop most recruiting boards, but a guy I'm a huge fan of. But any other names you want to kind of plug in this class, player prospects you're excited about returning before we sign off here?
I'm going to just say it right now. I'm going to be too high on Kevon Lee. I know there are a lot of film people who are not in on him yet, but I saw a guy that was clearly the best running back in that Penn State room, and I think they're going to have to lean on the running game this year because Sean Clifford is still not a very good quarterback. So I think Kevon Lee is a very talented back. I don't think I was too high when I was calling him like top five at various points during the year in this class, but I do think that he is a meaningful prospect and probably not draft worthy unless you're in like a super deep league, but he's a dude that very well might be productive.
For sure. Kevon Lee, of course, Penn State running back, and they've been cranking out some okay running backs with, you know, Miles Sanders, Saquon Barkley, you know, some other names. Yep. But yeah, that's about all the time we have on this show. Hopefully you learned a few names of these prospects you didn't already know, and hopefully you know, got to hear some names of favorite players of yours that are returning to college football. If you have any other questions, listeners, for us, feel free to find us on Twitter. Again, Stapon was at Stapon Leco. That's LAKO. And then Matt is Wispy the Kid on Twitter. And I am Travis May. It's FF underscore Travis M. We'd be glad to talk future NFL drafts, this year's NFL draft. And, and we'll be back with much more 2021 NFL draft content this spring as well. But definitely make sure to check out the RotoViz College Football Show with Matt and Stefan and all of our other great shows on RotoViz Radio. But until next time, appreciate you guys joining us, and I look forward to many more episodes of the College Canton Podcast.